Good evening, everybody. I'm Mayor John Mutcher. This is the Monday, December 2nd meeting. It just feels like December, doesn't it?
No problem.
Of your Fernhill City Council. I'd like to invite you to rise for the salute of our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Our city clerk, Susan Duncan, will now read the roll call.
Councilmember Tharp.
Here.
Councilmember Hampton.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Elect.
Here.
Councilmember Bishop.
Here.
Councilmember Yanos.
Here.
We would like to welcome two new council members, Councilmember O'Leary, Councilmember Lannis. You were both sworn in at an earlier meeting on Wednesday, so we would normally do that tonight, but we're not going to. But you get to be sworn in again on January 6th. That's how the law works, and you're filling an unexpired term, is how you say it, one that was not completed. So we want to thank you for stepping to the plate, for running successful campaigns, and for being here tonight. We need you tonight, so that's good. So we'll start one Councilmember Olson, who's requested an absence. Is there a motion for that?
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Taylor, seconded by Councilmember Hansen to excuse Councilmember Olson. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed nay. Going on now, I need a motion to adopt our agenda tonight.
So moved.
Second.
Let me get a second. Okay, thank you. Moved by Councilmember Hansen. Seconded by Councilmember Taylor to adopt tonight's agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed nay. Just to let folks know that we're going to move along quickly for two reasons. First of all, we don't have heat. So we are glad that you're here. We want to hear from you, especially if you're scheduled to speak. But kind of to the point tonight, there's also a totally football game. So two reasons for us to have a quick meeting tonight. Going on to public comment, right? I believe so. This is a time when the public is invited and welcome to speak on any item that is not on the agenda. We'll give you 3 minutes. We just ask that you tell us who you are and where you live. So who would like to speak to council tonight? Quite a line of people, looks like. Very good. So we will close public comment. Going on to the consent agenda, which needs approval from council. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Bishop. Seconded. Oh, I'm looking the wrong way. I'm just striking out tonight, just falling apart here. Moved by Councilmember Taylor and seconded again by Councilmember Hansen to adopt the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed nay. Seeing none, the consent agenda has been approved. Going on to item C is the annual Mayor's Citizenship of the Year Award. There are three this year. I'm going to introduce them one at a time, and then they will all come up for a picture, according to Brent back there, right? So let's do this. Get some fun stuff. I would first like to invite to come up Sarah Fassett. Are you here? You can be first. There you go. Come on up. There we go. I have something to read to you. I'm faster if I read it. If I wing it, it goes on for 20 minutes. So, this first award, conceived to recognize outstanding citizenship, represents someone who goes above and beyond for their community, for our community, who not only leads, but inspires. In terms of sheer ground speed and diversity of involvement, it is hard to come up with a better example than Sarah Fassett. Advocating for our business community as treasurer for the Chamber of Commerce, absolutely. Deep diving into the future of our city with our downtown visioning project with Western Washington University, she's there leading the charge. Helping new commercial businesses get landed and settled in our city with Rockwood Realty, she's on top of it. Volunteering at Mystery in the Park, the Ferndale Street Festival, and who knows what else, she's there. She's everywhere, and she's always, always, always working to make our city an even better place. For that and so much more, we are proud to recognize her with the Mayor's Award for Outstanding Citizenship, and we'll open up yours so that people can see what they look like.
They're
kind of
cool.
Hold that up there. Thank you so much. Okay, number two, there are three.
What's that?
Larry Brown, where are you?
When it comes to Larry Brown, the words pillar of the community only begin to do him justice. Together with his wife Beth, they fought for our new high school, volunteered at countless events, and raised thousands of dollars for our Ferndale Food Bank. They donated food and beverages for Flicks in the Park and are tireless advocates for our business community. Larry understands that a rising tide raises all boats and goes above and beyond to ensure our entire city succeeds. He serves on the executive board of the Chamber of Commerce and fights for the future of our city. In short, a stellar example of outstanding citizenship. Add to that, truly a gentleman and thoroughly decent fellow. He's the guy that watches out for everybody else. Larry and Beth have only been here a few years, but their devotion, service, and positive impact in our city match many who have lived here a lifetime. And the city thanks you. And the third and last, Dr. Quinn, would you come up, please? Hello there. Good to see you. Dr. Quinn is the public face and leader of the Ferndale School District, the largest employer in the city of Ferndale, and certainly the one that touches the most individuals and families directly. Leaders who seek more than the status quo always meet head-on impossible challenges. Leaders who seek more than the status quo are creative and visionary. And leaders who seek more than the status quo are also doing another thing, their job, and making a lasting difference. Doing what is best for an organization is one of the most difficult tasks for a leader to take on, and few thrive in that position for as long as Dr. Quinn has. Every community needs leaders who are willing to take the punishment, the criticism, the hits, the slings and arrows that come with moving an organization, a community forward. Linda, you demonstrate that stamina in many ways, most recently and notably in championing a new high school, not just for thousands of kids, but for our community. Having the wisdom to know when to get out in front of it and when to let others be on the front lines. So this Citizenship of the Year Award is given to you, Dr. Quinn. Not everyone can do your job, and tonight we recognize you for having the personality, the guts, and determination to do your job well, very well, and in doing so, making Ferndale a better place. I all got to come back out. There you go. Council, you adopted the agenda tonight, but we didn't tell you that we pulled one item, and so I hope there's not offense that we pulled item D, a report from the Port of Bellingham, from Mr. Goldberg. He will come back at a future date. So if you still want the report, I would have to wing it. So are you okay if we just pass on that? I thought so. Very good. Going on to item E, an important item, which is a public hearing tonight on the 2020 budget adoption. We are required to have this second hearing. I'm going to pass along to our finance director, who's freezing over in the corner, and I'm sure we'll be brief.
I think my brain is frozen. This is our second public hearing, and tonight we have brought the ordinance forward to you for approval for our 2020 budget. So we'll just have the public hearing. And
right into the public hearing, and our city clerk will read special directions.
A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you were unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name and address for the record and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group.
Very good. So we've opened the public hearing. Now, are any members of the public desiring to speak on the budget? We've been working on this for a number of months. Anybody signed up? Fair enough. The public hearing is now, the second public hearing is now closed, and the budget is in the hands of our city council. Council, what is your pleasure?
I'd like to move to adopt the budget for 2020. Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Bishop and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to adopt the 2020 budget as presented by staff and has been looked over quite carefully by council over the last several months. Discussion or question? Seeing none, are you ready for the final question? All in favor of approving the 2020 budget as presented in your staff report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay, and the budget has been adopted. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Director Salmon. Fantastic job this year. Staff, you're doing a great job. I think everyone is pleased with how it turned out. Anything else you want to tell us?
I just want to thank Council.
Very good. We have a second public hearing tonight. I will note this is not a required public hearing, but we thought it would be in the best interest of the city to do this. It's a public hearing on the adoption of utility rates. You will likely vote on the rates the next meeting, not tonight, but tonight is the public hearing. So you've already heard the instruction on the public hearing, so I'd like to officially open the public hearing at this time. Would you like to speak on the ordinance regarding the utility rates? Anybody? Okay. Going, and gone. We will close the public hearing. Council discussion, questions on the rate increases. There are some decisions that council needs to make on A's and B's. Option A and option B. As you know, staff is recommending option A on the water rates and option B on the sewer rates. And the option B would bring back, in essence, the summer discount program that's been used. The option B for the sewer would have been a fixed rate for everybody. So if that is your pleasure, we'll bring back that as an ordinance in 2 weeks. Discussion or questions? Councilmember O'Leary.
I had a question. I don't see the hookup fees listed in this ordinance. Are those listed somewhere else? Because they were part of the rate study.
Yeah. We will bring forward an ordinance addressing the connection fees. And the recommendation of staff is to remain consistent with the FCS rate recommendations that were presented at the workshops previously.
Okay. So will they be voted on at the same time in 2 weeks?
Correct.
And if somebody wanted to see those connection fees, where would they find them?
I believe they're listed in the proposal or in the presentation that was attached to the agenda item for this meeting.
And
at the website.
Yeah, if you're looking for all the information related to the rate study, a great place to find it is at cityofferndale.org/rate study. We've got all the presentations up to this point and a great kind of breakdown of what it would mean for you.
You just couldn't wait to say that.
I couldn't wait.
Okay. So, Council, if there are there more questions? If not, we'll bring them back in a couple of weeks. Council Member Larry.
Yeah. I had a question on the units. So when we have it broken down into the tiers, is everybody charged the same for units 1 through 10? And then, so it's like a tax bracket?
Yes.
The first 10 or the first cost, and then you get to the next bracket, and then from there on.
Exactly. Correct. Like a progressive tax rate. You are correct. And you would correct me if I'm wrong, right? Everybody pays the same for the first 10.
Right.
Yep. That's
right.
Correct. And then when you get to unit number 11, that one unit is at the
highest
until you get to the next tier. So you're
not the back 10.
Correct. You're correct.
I did have one more. Sorry.
As many as you want. That's why we're here.
And then the 2020 winter rates, would those be using the 2019, the current 2019 winter usage to establish it for 2020, or would it be a year
just
delay?
Talking about that.
Right. It depends on what our system does. It's either will be part of 2019. Well, it'll be either 2019 or going back to 2018 and 2019. If we have to do it consecutive, then it will be 2018 and 2019. But if we can pick and choose, it'll be December of 2019 and the beginning of the year 2019. Does that make sense? Because the winter is broken up.
I got it.
Yeah.
So December of 2019 plus the beginning of 2019.
Right. Or we might have to go back depending on our system. If it has to be consecutive, then we have to take 2018, cross over to 2019.
But I think if I understood staff today, it would be a six-month or three-pay period cycle, which would be October through March.
Yep.
So you will be paying in the summer for sewer, just for sewer, what you were paying October through March. So did I hit the nail on the head here? Okay.
Correct.
Fair enough?
Yep.
Good questions. Anything else? Councilmember Lanis.
The other engineer. So
you can talk about toilets?
No, I just want to know. I want to know if this study considered the reduction of usage after the rates come up.
We discussed it during the formation of the rates and the meetings that we had with FCS that there was a potential for higher rates to result in lower utilization of the mm-hmm. system, and we are going to be going back and doing a ongoing look at what the use is within our system and then assessing the need for adjusting rates in future periods. We'll be bringing forward a rate resolution that will cover the first three-year period, and then we'll assess during that period. If we see something draconian going on, we'll need to address it sooner than the three-year period. But I don't believe that any kind of adjustment to people's utilization is going to be anything that rises to the level that we need to adjust rates to accommodate it. We didn't see a big change in utilization from the elimination of the summer discount, and that was a much larger impact to most customers' bills during the summer season than the rate adjustment that is currently proposed.
Thank you.
I apologize, Councilmember, that was kind of an offhanded remark, but you talk about toilets and you have me a lot. Appreciate it. More questions or discussion from Council on the utility study? Councilmember O'Leary.
Yeah, so I have a comment and then a question. So when we do the winter rates for the summer, it has the effect, I think, and I may be wrong, but encouraging additional use during the summer, right?
Because of water, right?
Because at that point, you're not penalized from a sewer side for using it. And I was just wondering, do we have updated aquifer level data that suggests that we have leveled off, or are we seeing a continued decline?
He's trying to think of a good way to answer that. We do have ongoing data about the levels within the aquifer. So we have, we have known verifiable levels within the aquifer. The city has experienced and continues to experience declines within the aquifer since we've started utilizing that resource. We were able to address that during the summer with the implementation of the mandatory watering restrictions. Over the summer, it's my intent to bring back the mandatory watering restrictions so that we're putting those in place. I would advocate for doing that on a permanent basis as a water conservation measure going into future seasons. And additionally, we're looking to be able to get our water rights approved by Department of Ecology somewhere around the beginning of the year so that we can move forward with the well project and the modifications to the water treatment plant in order to put that resource online. So we're kind of, looking at augmenting the resource as well as implementing some of the mandatory watering restrictions and then hoping to get that in place before the summertime comes around.
Thank you very much.
Yes. The mandatory watering restrictions worked. Our superintendent utilities slept at night.
Yes.
And we fined how many people last year?
We have yet to find anybody.
Doggone it.
I know.
I know we're out looking for them. Not a single person fined. So we commend the city. It was a good decision of the city, and the community participated in it, and we did pretty good. So we'll keep doing that. And it's a good recommendation to continue with that.
It has been shown to be effective.
Yeah, thank you. Brown the new green. More questions or comments? Ready to move on? Very good. Catalyst program. Our director of community development, Haley Miller. This is exciting. Do we have pictures?
Do you have a picture?
Oh, good.
If you go to page 4 or 5 or 6, elevations on there.
Good evening, City Council and Mr. Mayor. My name is Haley Miller, the Community Development Director. And tonight, staff is bringing forward to you a project that is eligible for the Catalyst Incentive Program. And this project was scored 218 out of 240 points collectively by the Catalyst Review Committee and staff. And projects that receive points over 190 points get forwarded to City Council for final review. So this is a five-level mixed-use building over six parcels, and it's located behind and around the existing Lindale Glass site in Ferndale. So that's when you come onto Main Street across the bridge. It'll be on your left-hand side, and it wraps around the existing public fountain feature. So the site wraps around it. It's five levels.
I'm sorry, Director Miller, because we have a lot of new folks. Could you go to the first picture and kind of give us an orientation where we would be standing?
Yes.
Everybody here knows, but...
And I'm not controlling the computer, but sorry. I think somebody else is, so we'll try and work
the
together.
One that had the
maybe
fountain
the site maybe plan, there. The site plan on, keep going. I'll know it when I see it. One more. Stop. Perfect. Okay, so if you want to zoom in a little bit, if possible, the top-hand portion of the screen is Main Street. And that is the existing public fountain feature. So I guess on the right-hand side of the photo would be the Nooksack River. And the commercial spaces are proposed to front Main Street up at the top of the page right there. Those are commercial uses that are proposed along Main Street. And if you scroll down on the picture, the public space will be expanded to have seating areas. Those orange squiggly lines are artistic benches. There is covered bike parking. There are additional grassy areas proposed for patrons using that area and their pets. There are covered outdoor patios. And the applicant is also proposing two new public restrooms. They're shown in the center of the picture. Sorry, I wish I had the mouse with you. Down to the left. Oh, go ahead. So there's public restrooms on there in the middle that are proposed, and then the public facilities wrap around the building facing the Nooksack River. And then behind the building on the second level above the parking garage, there are commercial and residential units. And then the top three levels will have residential units. So the third level will have 35 units, the fourth will have 35 units, and the fifth will have 33 units. So just a little bit of background on the Catalyst program. This program was approved as an incentive program to help Ferndale's downtown, which has been struggling for several decades. And the idea behind this program is to allow up to three developments that are mixed-use buildings with more than 15 dwelling units and more than 5,000 square feet of commercial located in and around the downtown area. And the idea being behind this program that if we get a few projects downtown and more people, it will feed into the other businesses and promote the area better. So this is the first project we've received. We have received four applications total for the incentive program. One application was withdrawn. Two applications are currently under review. So this is the first application that staff is forwarding to City Council to look at. And there is no public hearing required for this. City Council can ask questions of staff, the applicant, and the public if you wish to do so. But tonight we're asking that a decision be rendered on this project to either approve or deny it. If the project is denied, it doesn't move forward. If it is approved, then staff will be working with the applicant closely in order to meet the construction deadline next year to go through the technical reviews. There is still a lot of work left with the environmental review, which requires public noticing. There is a shoreline hearing required because of its proximity to the river, and that requires a separate public hearing with the hearing examiner. And that will focus mainly on the shoreline master program itself and those conditions. And there's also a conditional use permit required for the amount of retail proposed. And then if this is approved, there's a street vacation request, which will come back to City Council. So there's a couple different approvals that will happen after this. This is just the focus on the Catalyst program itself and the four primary criteria, which is public benefit,
site design, architectural design, and catalyst effectiveness. So the review here is just based on that, and all the technical reviews and more reviews will follow in additional public noticing. So this is, I guess, the second step to get this approved, and then we'll move forward with it.
So Director Rowe, the two pictures here, the top one is standing, you're standing at the True Value corner looking at it?
The top one, you are standing on Main Street and First. Yeah. The corner of Main Street and First looking toward
the bottom
the river.
One, you could be on the bridge.
Yep, bottom one, you're on the bridge, exactly, looking at it. So that's a good, yes, thanks. So those are the angles of the building. The project, the waived fees for the project total $2.1 million, and this includes impact and connection fees and park fees. And these fees would usually be collected by the city and put into parks and water and sewer and transportation projects. So these are fees that the city wouldn't have received without this project. So we're not losing money. We're just not taking it in for those future projects.
And we're not writing a check.
We are not writing a check. No. So the fees will be waived. And, you know, it's a project like this may not have been seen with this incentive program in the next 10 years. So that is part of this review in the incentive program. We're trying to trigger new development in the area. The development will still be required to pay the ongoing utility fees. So the water bills that come through each, the development will still be required to pay that. So in the catalyst program itself, there are two ways to get points. One is automatic bonus points that scored pretty much yes or no, have they complied with this requirement or not. And that's worth 40 points. And the project was awarded 30 out of 40 points because it fronts Main Street. It has art components. It creates more public space. It's a redevelopment of an existing site downtown with a small building and vacant properties. It has assembled smaller sites. And it will be a LEED certified gold building or higher. The points that this project did not receive were for the units to be condominiumized. And it's all or nothing, so the applicant couldn't guarantee that these would be condos, but the applicant does think that maybe half of them will eventually be condos, or at least built that way so that they can be condos. And then the bulk of the points are scored by the Catalyst Review Committee, which is made up of three city council members and one Eagle Board member and one planning commissioner. So the Catalyst Committee reviewed the project, and the scores are shown on the screen of each member. Each member has remained anonymous, so the scores are on the screen. It scored very high, 188 out of 200. And I think it's important to note that this committee, you know, spent a lot of time reviewing the project and requested a number of changes, and the applicant did make most of the changes requested, so that the committee was comfortable enough to score it this highly, you know, because it is a big deal. So we did look at it. The project was revised, and here are the scores. So for the public benefit component, it scored 47 out of 50, and just some highlights on the public benefit features that it adds more residential uses, a higher density, it connects the Riverwalk Park, it offers public restrooms. It will maintain the water fountain and keep the equipment in the facility, so that would be privately maintained by the applicant. The public restrooms would also be maintained by the applicant instead of the city. And then there's art features. There's a local rotating art display that will be visible from Main Street, so there'll be glass windows that you can see from Main Street, right where the mouse is. Yeah, right there, perfect. Right in that area. So that'll help local artists in the area, and then lighting will be used in the building, and then the building design will be as shown on the screen. And it will create an entrance into downtown and into Ferndale. And the building and site design, we've already kind of seen pictures of it, so I won't go through each of the details, but those scored highly too. Both building design 44 out of 50 and site design 47 out of 50. And the overall catalyst effectiveness, which just means, does this project effectively initiate the goals of the program? It scored 50 out of 50. So the idea here, again, is that when this fully develops, it'll get at least 300 people downtown shopping in these businesses and provide something interesting to look at and do downtown and invite the public into this area. So in conclusion, the Catalyst Committee reviewed it and effectively recommends approval of this project based on the score that's provided. Staff recommends approval and
We'll continue to review this project throughout the process if it is approved. And like I said before, no public hearing is required, but you can ask questions of staff and the applicant and the public if you wish to do so. So I'm happy to answer any questions for you.
Questions of council on this project? Again, we've heard that the Catalyst Committee, which is about half of you, have approved this, are supporting this, and also the staff and the mayor supporting this as well. I was noticing some financial benefits. Sid said, and you've covered these. We will get sales tax and all the construction that comes in. Mm-hmm. What's the estimated value of the project? Do you remember?
$21 million.
Okay. That'll be a couple $100,000.
Yeah.
They'll start paying sales tax on any retail that immediately. Property tax on all the commercial right away, and then property tax on the residential after 8 years or something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And then the utilities, which includes the utility tax. So there are some immediate financial benefits to the city.
And the school district.
And the school district, absolutely. Questions of staff? Councilmember O'Leary.
So as part of the survey that I sent out before this meeting, got back 62% of people approved in the survey this project, and there were some really positive comments, but I'm going to skip those. I'm going to go to the concerns that people had on the other side. So they broke down into three main buckets, and I think you can speak to two of them. The first one that I don't think you'll be able to speak to is just the general frustration with what's seen as giving breaks the $21 million. I don't think you need to speak to that. That's fine. The other two, though, people were concerned about traffic, and people were concerned whether or not it aligns with the look and feel of downtown.
Right. So the traffic, and feel free to jump in, Director Renz. The area is expected to handle the capacity that's added into the downtown area. It's the most dense area of the city. And after Thornton goes through, this project will line up around the same time as the Thornton overpass is constructed, so it's expected that the traffic going through Main Street now that would use Thornton would alleviate the stress of downtown traffic. And all of the residential parking is on site. I know that parking was a concern too. The Catalyst program actually is more restrictive than regular city code and requires for all the residential parking to be on site. And also the applicant will be required to submit a full traffic study prepared by a traffic engineer that we will route to a third party to look at. So if there's any improvements that are needed to improve the flow of traffic, the applicant will be required to do so.
Good questions. Thank you.
And then there was a second part to
the
that.
The second one was whether or not it aligns with the look and feel of downtown.
Well, I think the whole point of this program is the look and feel of downtown right now. I mean, it is struggling. There are some amazing businesses down there, but it's been struggling for several decades. There's lots of vacant businesses, and I know that the existing businesses down there would love to see probably more people and something to set the tone for downtown. It doesn't exactly match what is out there, but I think since it's only, five levels, four stories, if you look at it from street level, it's not super huge for Ferndale. And coming into the city and looking at this, I think it could shape, people's opinion psychologically of at least the downtown Ferndale seem like a new building and a new public space. So I think it fits in, but, that's my opinion. But I think, different people could look at it in distinct ways.
Yeah, and I don't want to leave a sour taste. So I will read some of the positive comments, if you don't mind.
No, you're fine.
one person said they were really excited about the project. Another said Ferndale needs this beautiful project. And a third said it'll be amazing to see such a grand project in the heart of downtown. So I'll leave it on a positive note.
Oh, thank you.
Council, would you like to? I'm sorry, Councilmember Hanson, maybe hear from the public.
And I just wanted to add, with the look and feel of downtown, they the results of the Western Washington University students' examination of downtown and the design standards, this building and the other two Catalyst projects really do kind of fit the tone of the suggestions that those students gave to us. And so, going forward, this is kind of what I think, was suggested as kind of a look and feel of the modern buildings in downtown Ferndale. So,
well said. Would you like to hear from the public? It's not a required public hearing, but we typically do on things like this. Public, would you like to speak to the item before council votes on this project? You like it. You hate it.
Fair enough.
Council, what is your pleasure? We're looking for a motion on this. Council Member Zara.
I think it's important to note that Council already approved the Catalyst program, that we're just voting whether or not this project meets or exceeds the requirements, which it does. And I would like to move to approve the Fountain Place Catalyst project as a full Catalyst project. Second.
Thank you very much. Did you have a question, Mr. Lamas?
I need to recuse because I'm the engineer of record.
That is correct. And you want to explain why we do that? Who wants to take that one for the public? Thank you. We appreciate that. Fully respect your reasons for doing it, but let's explain that.
Well, so council members need to preserve both the appearance and actual fairness in terms of when they deliberate. So whenever there's a potential for a conflict to exist or for the appearance of a conflict to exist, it's important for council members to disclose that to the public, and then it's up to that individual council member as to whether or not they feel they can preserve impartialness or the appearance of impartialness. So what Council Member Llanos just did was he indicated the potential conflict, and in order to preserve the appearance of fairness, he recused himself from voting.
Very well said. And does it mean at all that he couldn't vote wisely, fairly, equally, but just the appearance because of his possible potential involvement in this project? That also means that we still need 4 votes to approve it. So too many council members are working on this project. Motions on the table to adopt Agenda Bill 1912-004 by Councilmember Zarr, seconded by Councilmember Taylor. More discussion? Seeing none. All in favor of the Agenda Bill 1912-004, the Fountain Place Catalyst Project, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. And it's 5-0 with Councilmember Llanos abstaining, recusing himself. Excuse me. Very good. We're getting close to the end here. Moving on to mayor reports. I just have one. We have 2 more council meetings. This is the first of 2 more council meetings in December. And over that time, we will be saying goodbye to some of our elected officials. And we're going to say goodbye to just one tonight. She is actually moving to Bellingham to serve us as the Whatcom County Assessor. So it's my honor to present to Councilmember Rebecca Zarr the famous silver coin. I'm told it's silver. It's an anniversary coin, which is very cool. And your own plaque. And to be honest with you, I don't know who, it should say this on here, but who's been more tireless, really, in advocating for parks. And I have this feeling that slips up a bit, we're going to hear from you. So parks have been steadily more budgeted, more things have happened, and a lot of that credit goes to you, as well as to art, too. So you walk through the city, there's some cool art. You're walking on it sometimes, you're looking at it other times. And you've made a positive difference in our city, and we thank you and commend you and wish you the best as you look at our property assessments the next few years. And there you go. Thank you so much. Having said that, that is all I have for mayor reports. Council reports, please. Councilmember Zarr.
The Art Commission is sponsoring a arts and crafts fair that is vendors selling arts and crafts, and that is the 14th.
Yes.
Yes. And I don't have the time.
10 to 6.
At the Pioneer Preserve.
Yes.
More council reports.
I have a question. Do we need to identify who's going to be on the committees for myself and Council Member Lyons?
Go ahead.
Not yet.
Our council rules state that that's to be done the first meeting of the year or at a meeting shortly thereafter. So,
the assumption is that the 2-year, will they fill with the seats of the people they replaced?
That would be the most logical and simple fix, at least for the rest of this year. Mm-hmm.
What would that be then? Could we?
So that would be
Kennedy seat.
Public Works.
First and Jensen.
And planning.
And Public Works, Planning and Land Use. Can you? There's only one more meeting for this.
I didn't mean to throw something else.
Is it, Council Members O'Leary and Lamas okay with you? They just replace.
And at committee meetings, your votes are only advisory to council anyway because no final action can be taken at committees. So, if Council Member Yana thinks that you don't recuse or whatever, because it's, you know, the conflict is not a problem for the committees. They're just making a recommendation to the board.
Yeah. And you've become that of the grade.
Yep.
And I know you all are chomping at the bit for next year to figure out what committees and liaison appointments, especially those in the audience that are also looking at that. We'll be sending around a survey soon to gauge interest and start that process. So stay tuned and check your email.
Thank you.
Very good.
Any other council reports? Council Member Bishop.
I don't have it in front of me, Drew, but is there a hometown hero?
Yes, you've got it.
Oh, sorry, we didn't get to you yet. I just
yeah, and it's being passed around. So when we get the staff report, we'll get there. Yeah, thank you. Any other council reports? I don't see any. Okay, staff reports, community development.
Nothing for me, thank you.
Public works.
Nothing.
Finance.
Nothing.
Clerk.
Oh, yes, I do. That we're very pleased to be once again participating in the Ferndale Holiday Giving Store. So we encourage your generous donations to this wonderful project that helps nearly 1,000 children get something for Christmas. So it's just very simple. Come into City Hall, grab an ornament off the tree. They look like this. On the back side of the ornament, it has a description of an item that you can purchase. Bring it to City Hall. Don't wrap it. Just place it in the box. It's right next to the Christmas tree that's set up there. And they will be accepting donations only, or they'll be picking all those donations up December 16th. So we have a kind of short window of time this year because Thanksgiving is so late. And also conveniently located right next to the box for the Ferndale Holiday Giving Store is a box, a bin for donations to the community service.
Community Resource Center?
Yes, for that, the other bank. So that is to provide basic hygiene items for people, you know, soap, shampoo.
Toilet paper,
yeah. So while you're getting some for the Holiday Giving Store, consider making a contribution to the other bank as well.
That reminds me, too, just to add on to the Arts Festival on December 14th is also going to have a fundraiser for the Ferndale Community Resource Center.
Very good. Okay. City Administrator.
I have a couple. So first off, the council just adopted the 2020 budget, and I think that while you all have appreciation for just how much work goes into it, our finance department has been working on it really all year long. Tomorrow, Circa is probably going to start working on the 2021 budget. And we did things a little bit differently this year where it really did pay dividends. We feel where it was not only something that happened in the fourth quarter, but it was something that was talked about all year long. It was something that staff talked about all year long. It really did go well, we feel. So we're always going to make improvements to our processes, but a lot of credit goes to our finance department and our finance director. Similarly, our community development director, Haley, just presented on the Catalyst project. That has been primarily a fourth quarter initiative where there have been a number of times when I have learned from her, sometimes by going back into the office, that she has come in early, stayed late, worked weekends to get it through in order to get it in front of council before the December 31st deadline. So she's done a lot of hard work on that. And then lastly, since we are talking about end of the year type stuff, you may have seen, but we're proud to announce that the City of Ferndale and the Main Street Bar and Grill have reached a settlement as of Friday, which will allow music to return to the Main Street Bar and Grill. Both sides were seeking that ultimate conclusion. We feel that the settlement provides, restores a safe environment there. The new owner is a great business person, and we are looking forward to music returning to downtown Ferndale in the near future.
And your promise is to do the first dance.
No.
Very good. Mr. Sweeney.
Okay. Communication. First, I've got our humble hometown hero, since we're talking so much about the Ferndale Community Resource Center. On this date, Monday, December 2nd, 2019, the city recognizes Karen for her service to our community. Karen is the lead volunteer for the clothing bank at the Ferndale Community Resource Center. She receives, sorts, cleans, and stocks the clothes for those in need. In the past year, just in the last year, She has volunteered over 1,000 hours with the Community Resource Center and is fully committed to helping everyone she can. We're proud to put her name in the record as a true, humble hometown hero.
Very good.
I want to thank everybody who showed up for our citywide community meeting a couple weeks ago. It was a pretty good event. I think we got a lot of information to folks, and we got a lot of good questions. So thank you, everybody who participated. And then, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that this weekend is old-fashioned Christmas, starting with a tree lighting at Centennial Riverwalk at 5 p.m. with Santa Claus. Spoiler alert, he shows up in a fire truck. Very exciting. And then enjoy carriage rides, hot chocolate, all sorts of magical wonders down at the Pioneer Park. It's a great experience. Bring the family. And then finally, it's 37 degrees outside and barely warmer in here. But if you know somebody who's living out there in the cold, whose heat is out, who is living in a dangerous situation, please, please, please. We have multiple shelters open in Whatcom County. There's daily updates on the Whatcom County website about what shelters are open and what sort of space they have. Make sure that they get help, okay? We don't want one person's financial challenge to become a tragedy. So,
thank you. And so that's going to be easy to find on the Whatcom County homepage?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. Appreciate that. Please.
Nothing for me, thanks.
Good. We're not done tonight. We have an executive session. I have some special instructions. Pursuant to RCW 423110 subsection G, we will now enter executive session to review the collective bargaining agreements with the Police Guild, the Teamsters, and Machinist Unions. The session is expected to last about 20 minutes, after which time council reconvene in open session and may take action.